Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to celebrate this week the reality of who Jesus is. We're in the first week of Advent, where we stand between the two comings of Jesus. We remember his first coming in the incarnation. And we, throughout the church years, you know, we celebrate the whole life and mystery and the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And just a week or two ago, we were celebrating the glory of Christ our King. And the church throughout the world, those who were there, those who are there in faith, those whose hearts are set on Jesus, just celebrated, even in this difficult COVID time, celebrated the fact and the reality of the kingship and the victory of Christ. Christ indeed is our King. And we've been talking the last couple of days in particular about what it means to live under the Lordship of Jesus. We began the week, Romans chapter 10, where the church gave us in the first reading on the feast of St. Andrew, where St. Paul said, if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's so true. That's a really good passage to commit to memory and to say to confess with your lips. And we've been talking about what that actually means. It doesn't mean just speaking words because you know the words. It's speaking words in the Spirit. Like Paul said, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us a revelation. The Holy Spirit opens our mind, your mind, my mind, our hearts, to the reality and the fact of Jesus and gives us power to believe. Not only the truth about it, which it starts there, but a capacity to surrender then, a courage and a movement toward Jesus in a full surrender of our lives to him in trust. And we begin to follow him now as the center, as the goal of our lives, and we make it our aim to please him. That's really the centerpiece. That's what we've been talking about this week, and it's because he's worthy, because he's Lord, and it's just a heartbreaker to just think how many baptized Catholics do not have a clue about this. Poll after poll just reveal the steady decline in the awareness of people of who Jesus actually is. And it's kind of crazy because the church continues to try to, you know, moms and dads like, you know, me or others try to, you know, get our kids back to church, come back to church, you know, and to make sacrifices to live the faith. Well, they're living in a culture that doesn't care much anymore about it, that has lost its respect for God, which is total insanity and really foolish. And we're experiencing the judgment of it right now. It's unfolding among us, and it's going to get worse probably. You can't try to create a world completely separate from God and expect to flourish, because you're deciding to step out of light and to step into the darkness. That's literally what it is. And by stepping into the darkness means you freely, there's no third way between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of light of our Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of darkness of devil. These are two powers. The devil's power doesn't compare to Jesus' power, but on this earth, his power is strong. Not stronger than Jesus' power, but in order to tap into the power of Christ the King, you've got to be alive to Christ the King, and you have to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you have to be seeking him and loving him and living for him, and you will have dominion over the enemy. But people want a third way. No one says, or hardly anyone says, you know, I want to follow the devil or I want to follow darkness. And others would say, well, you know, I just don't believe in God. That's not my thing, or I have my own road. And to actually think there's a third way. There is no third way. You're either for Jesus or you're against him. You're either in his kingdom or you're outside his kingdom. That's really true. And so if you're not in his kingdom, you're in someone else's kingdom. And guess whose kingdom you're in? You're in the kingdom of darkness. This present darkness then slowly, steadily begins to lay hold of your mind and your life. And before you know it, you find yourself an enemy of God because you are radically championing all the values in the world. Watch what's happening. Look at how many Catholics and other people are lining up behind what the world now demands. You better salute, you know, abortion, this current administration coming in. I mean, I don't know if I'm missing let's say President Biden, I'm recording this before the final decision is made in terms of the recounts and all that, but let's say he's there. Okay, he and the Vice President, Kamala Harris, are all in with abortion to the first breath, right up to the time of the first breath of the child. And they're willing to put all the force of their position and their politics and all the power that they have to support that. Imagine, friends, that's demonic. That is dark. It's extremely dark, and it doesn't get much darker than that. A friend of mine who knew Mother Teresa, an older brother in the Lord who I admire greatly, said the last time he saw her was, I think he said, 1989. And when he was with her, he was leaving. He often would help financially and otherwise, the ministry, and was very supportive. And he's leaving, and he was saying goodbye to Mother. And he said, Mother, what can I pray for you for and the sisters? And she said, don't pray for us. She said, pray for your country. And he said, why? She says, because your country is coming under God's judgment because you are sacrificing innocent human life for the sake of materialism and comfort. And she reminded him that God moves slowly on these things, but indeed he does move. He really, really does move, right? So, and there's much more I could say about what's going on. We can all see it and feel it. And so there's no third way. We will give an account of whether we've acknowledged the King and lived a life in accord with that reality, in accord with natural law, in accord with a well-formed conscience. We'll all be held responsible for those things. So there we find the reality of the battle that's unfolding in people and how many people in the church are drifting with the culture. And they haven't, as St. Peter said, as we've talked about, enthroned Jesus Christ as Lord in their heart. They don't love him first. And as a result, their life shows it, right? And they're not living under the authority of Jesus. They're living under what they think is their own authority, but you end up living under the dominion of a power greater than yourself, which is Satan. Do people wake up in the morning and say, yeah, that's who I'm following. There's my man. No, they don't. But you end up being seduced into internalizing demonic doctrines and calling them life and calling it good, like the destruction, deconstruction of the family. You know, the movements out there that exist to destroy the nuclear family. How insane is that? Well, they don't know it. They think it's an obstacle to their freedom and to the political society and utopian ideals that they have, so they want to deconstruct it. But the family got established. That puts them right at odds on two levels. One, you want to destroy the unborn. So you want to wipe out, you want to destroy and dismember the image of God. That's what you want to do. You think it's freedom. That's a darkened mind. You think you need it to be happy. That's a mind that has been seduced into darkness and into bondage. And then you want to deconstruct the family that God himself established, where the image of God comes to be between a relationship between a husband and a wife, a loving union, a fertile union that brings about life. That too, then, a thing of God has become a threat to you. Isn't that interesting? Where do you think that came from? The family is the icon of God, an image of God in the earth. It's a teacher about who God is. It's the place where people come to learn life's most important lessons, the love of God, love of neighbor, how to sacrifice and be united, and it's life-giving. And to see it as an obstacle or as an enemy to be deconstructed and destroyed, I don't care how noble they think it is demonic. They're living under the lordship of another king, the king of this world. That's what's happening. The reality is, friends, the teaching of Scripture, the church is really clear. You're going to live under one of two kings. There is not another option. You're going to either live under the kingdom of this world or the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And you're going to serve one or the other. Remember Bob Dylan's song years ago, you got to serve somebody? It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Exactly. He's right. We think we're serving ourselves, but that's a demonic lie. That goes all the way back to the garden. That's because you're not willing to go all in because you want to be in charge or you don't trust God or whatever. That's exactly the lie that the devil sowed in the hearts of Adam and Eve, the temptation that was put before them. So that's the battle. What the Scripture has been given to us this week and what we've been reflecting on is that turning our lives to Jesus and living under his lordship, because he is Lord. How do I enter his kingdom? Well, through conversion, through repentance, believing, as I said yesterday, the diagnosis that Jesus has of your life and mine, the sin-sick condition of our lives, the reality and truth that I'm not my own maker, that I'm not my own master, that I don't have full control over my destiny, that I need God to live, and the mercy and the forgiveness of God and the death of Jesus and the reality of baptism to receive the life of God in me. That's what's needed. That's called conversion. And conversion isn't just a feeling in whatever direction I want it to go in. Conversion is a transformation, a turning of life to a person, to Jesus. And we bow our knee. We say, Jesus, I confess my sin. I turn to Jesus for forgiveness and for deliverance and for healing. And it's made explicit in faith and accepting him as the Lord of our lives. Friends, if you've never had a moment, maybe you want to say it right now. If you've never had a moment in your life where you said, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Send your Holy Spirit. Lord, come and reign in my heart. Come and save me, Jesus. That's a good prayer. It's a prayer you should ask again and again and again throughout your life. And Jesus will help you in an experiential way. He'll help you. He'll come and he'll give you, the Holy Spirit will do its work in you. If you really want it and hunger and thirst for it, you'll come to know him as Lord and Savior. You know, if you ask a question of what does Jesus want? It's kind of simple. Jesus wants to be your Savior. He wants to save you from sin, from death, and from Satan. Jesus is also the Christ, which means what? He wants to anoint you with the gift of the Holy Spirit, with the power that raised him from the dead. He wants to pour out on you what he poured out on the apostles on the day of Pentecost, to walk by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, so you can live and be like Jesus, so you can hear his voice, so you can follow the promptings of the Lord and walk in holiness and to engage his mission. And lastly, what does he want? As Lord, he wants to reign in your life. He wants you to be in the kingdom. He wants you to come under his authority so he can guide you, strengthen you, heal you, protect you, empower you, guide you to live the fruitful life you were made to live. And you just think about the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost. You see Savior, Christ, and Lord in the culmination of that great homily. That first ever preached by a pope, right? He said, the people said, what do we do? Thinking, knowing that Jesus rose from the dead, he said, repent, change your life, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing of Christ, right? For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. He's calling you. Bring your family with you. How do you do that? Even if they're not interested, you just run after God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You do what he tells you to do. You entrust your children, your grandchildren to him, and you live as radically in love for him and for your neighbor as his power will do in you. Just walk in that, friends, entrust everything else to him and to the intercession of Our Lady and the saints, and you watch what he does in your life. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.